From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. 2 weekends ago, fighters from the terrorist group Hamas launched a multifaceted attack on Israel. You know many of the details of this by now. In that initial attack, roughly 1,400 people were killed, a couple hundred more were taken hostage, and in the weeks that have followed, thousands more Palestinians have been killed in Gaza as Israel has kept up an intense bombing campaign, it says, is targeting Hamas. And a great humanitarian crisis continues unfolding there, since Israel has total control over water, electricity, and relief supplies and has let very little in. Meanwhile, this conflict is echoing here in Illinois. There are people with family, ethnic, and spiritual ties to those on different sides of this conflict. Two women from Evanston, a mother and a daughter, were among those taken hostage by Hamas. This weekend, news broke that they had been released. And last weekend, the nation's attention was on the brutal murder of a 6-year-old Palestinian boy, Wadia El-Fayoumi, by his elderly landlord. And the man charged in that crime faces murder and hate crime charges. We begin today's program with two Illinois perspectives on this crisis. In about 15 minutes, we'll hear from State Representative Abdel Nasser Rashid, the first Palestinian-American elected to the Illinois General Assembly. But first, State Representative Daniel Dittich. He's a Democrat from Buffalo Grove, Illinois, and a member of the Jewish Caucus. He's also an attorney who specializes in local government law, and he previously worked at Jewish Child and Family Services as an advocate for kids and families with special needs. Representative Dittich, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Brian, for having me. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Thank you. And listeners, as ever, I want to invite you to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Representative Dittich, I just want to begin by asking you to take us back 2 weeks. How did you first hear the news about the attack by Hamas?
Well, so 2 weeks ago, I woke up the morning of October 7th. I opened up my phone to read the news and browse Twitter like many other people, and like everybody else, I was horrified. The October 7th terrorist attack was shocking and horrifying. It was the worst massacre of Jewish people since the Holocaust. It called to mind the pogroms of Eastern Europe that led families like mine to flee to places like the United States and Israel over 100 years ago. You know, to me, and this is something I've discussed with many of my colleagues, is this is a moment that calls for moral clarity and not relativism. There's absolutely no justification, excuse, or legitimate rationale for the kind of terrorism we saw committed by Hamas in southern Israel. The torture, the horrific murder of over 1,000 civilians, including infants and the elderly, 200 children and adults taken hostage. What Hamas did is a crime of historic magnitude. They need to be held accountable for their actions, and we have to make sure it never happens again.
What have you been hearing from your constituents about this?
You know, I think, you know, one of the most important, you know, skills as a state legislator is to listen, right? And, you know, our role in foreign affairs is very limited. But you know, I've been hearing from my Jewish constituents who are profoundly distressed over the most deadly attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust. And I'm hearing from my Muslim constituents a profound amount of distress about the well-being of their family and their community, not just in the Middle East, but right here in Illinois. You know, like you mentioned, calling to mind the horrific and tragic death of the 6-year-old Palestinian American by a deranged man who was radicalized by right-wing media. You know, people are afraid, and you know, people are very fearful of the current moments.
Do you have personal family ties to Israel or family connections, at least?
So everybody in the Jewish community has some sort of connection to Israel, either family members or friends or people who have spent time there. I have friends that I grew up with who lived in Israel. I have family members who lived in Israel for a period of time, some of which in the southern region of Israel that was the subject of this attack. So it's certainly a very personal moment, not just for me, but everybody in the Jewish community.
So one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you today in particular is that there's been some tension among Democrats, not just in Illinois, but certainly in Illinois, but really throughout America over how to respond to these attacks. And you and other members of the Jewish caucus put out a statement the weekend of the attacks. Can you just talk? I mean, it's not typical for Illinois lawmakers to weigh in on things happening around the world. Can you talk about what you were and your colleagues were hoping to achieve with that statement, which I should say, just to summarize, sort of unequivocally denounce the attacks and Hamas?
You're absolutely right. It's very unusual for state legislators to be involved and speak about foreign affairs in any capacity, but this was such a unique situation that we felt compelled to denounce the attacks in unequivocal terms, and also do what we can to reduce tensions here in Illinois. Like you said, this is an issue that sparks a lot of passion, and for good reasons, right? That's why we've seen so many gatherings and rallies for people to come together and express their views. But right now tensions are very high and people are afraid, right? We have Hamas and their allies calling for worldwide days of rage. Like we just discussed, we have people in here in Illinois being radicalized by conservative talk radio and committing hate crimes against a Palestinian American family. None of this is acceptable. Everyone in Illinois deserves to feel safe. We are a diverse and welcoming state. We value our Jewish residents and our Muslim residents. War in the Middle East does not need to come to Illinois. We will get through this, and we will continue to be a state where people of all backgrounds can be proud to call their home.
There was another statement issued by a group of, I guess, what would you say, progressive legislators, Democrats, all. And some of them also signed on to the Jewish caucus statement that said all loss of life is tragic. It acknowledged the deep pain of many Illinoisans, as I hear you doing now. But it also concluded with a line that said, "We will not be able to achieve peace when millions of Palestinians are denied basic human rights. We urge the United States and the international community to work toward long-term solutions that end the inequality that's at the root cause of the violence." End quote. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think that was a statement that was put out the day after the terrorist attacks, and I think as I said previously, this is a moment that calls for moral clarity, right? I don't think it's appropriate or fair to blame the innocent victims or to say that it was in any sense appropriate or understandable that they would be put in this horrific position because of actions by their government, which people have different opinions on, right?
To
I
be
don't think
clear,
that's
I didn't.
right.
I just to clarify, I did not read. I did hear that sentiment out there from people. I don't think that was in this particular statement, although I'll let you interpret it as you will. But
I think the language suggesting that there will not be peace until essentially the Israeli government changes its policies in regards to Gaza and the West Bank. That was interpreted by me and a lot of people in the Jewish community as essentially blaming the victims in a way that was not appropriate. Since then, we've also seen calls for a ceasefire, and I think calls for a ceasefire now, however well-intentioned, are in effect calls for Hamas to continue their terrorism operations and to plan more horrific attacks on Israeli civilians. I think the time to talk about a ceasefire is after Hamas has been neutralized. And remember, on October 6th, there was a ceasefire in place, and Hamas broke that ceasefire on October 7th. So to suggest that Hamas can torture and murder over 1,000 civilians, take hostages, and that Israel should take no military action whatsoever to protect itself and to save the hostages, to me, that's not a serious request.
is it possible to publicly support the Palestinian people without coming across as anti-Semitic, in your view?
Oh, absolutely, and I think I think President Biden has really struck the right tone on this. I think his efforts to support Israel's military activity to defeat Hamas are correct, and he has also prioritized making sure that we're also providing humanitarian aid to the Gaza people, the people in Gaza who are suffering r really by no fault of their own. Right. And I think it's also important to remember that Hamas has not only terrorized and brutalized Israelis. They are an authoritarian government in Gaza that has brought significant hardship to the Palestinian people as well. So, from my perspective, defeating Hamas, that's not a picking a side Israel versus Palestinians. I mean, to me, if you want peace in the region, right, if you value a two-state solution like I do, right, and that we need to work toward a goal with a peaceful state of Israel alongside a state of Palestine, a necessary precondition to that, and especially what we've seen over the past 2 weeks, is we have to defeat Hamas first.
You mentioned the two-state solution, and we were also talking earlier about, state legislators don't have a big role in foreign affairs. One of the ways they can make their voices heard is through resolutions, right? These are non-binding sort of statements of the General Assembly. A few years ago, you signed on to one supporting the Abraham Accords and for a negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Now, that did not pass, at least in the version that I saw, but I wonder if you still feel that way.
Well, yeah, so I think the Abraham Accords were a very positive development between normalizing the state of Israel with their Arab neighbors across the region. I'm hopeful in the future we'll see more cooperation like that, so we can have a state of Israel that lives in peace with its Arab neighbors. But right now, first and foremost, as a state legislator, more so than making public statements, more so than putting out or signing onto resolutions, I'm very focused on constituent services. When people have problems they don't know how to solve, they come to my office, and we've had some very unique situations related to this conflict. We were contacted by a resident whose parents were among a group of 40 congregants on a tour in Israel through their church, and they were stranded in an unfamiliar country. So, my team, we sprung into action. We communicated with our federal partners. We made sure they were in contact with the local U.S. embassy. We worked with the touring company to ensure they promptly received tickets for flights home. And I was very, very pleased that all 40 of these residents made their way home. So it's the kind of the symbolic statements are nice, but I'm much more focused right now, in my limited role as a legislator. What can I do to tangibly help people?
This is a personal question, but I wonder what your experience has been with anti-Semitism, both as an elected official and in life.
Well, I think every Jewish person in one way or another has experienced anti-Semitism. And I think, sadly, we're seeing a rise of it, not just in recent years. We've seen more anti-Semitic violence, but in the past couple weeks. If you look at public statements put out by elected officials, activists, there's have been, sadly, people who are not only excusing but cheering on Hamas, right? And if you look at Hamas's charter, their founding documents, they don't want peace, right? They call for the destruction of the state of Israel and the murder of Jews, not just in Israel but around the world. So to see people in Illinois, across the United States, not just excuse but cheering on what Hamas is doing, it's been a scary thing to see.
What do you think is the best case scenario for a resolution in this conflict, right? It seems that Israel has a number of bad choices. If it strikes too hard back, it's going to lose a lot of global support, it seems. We've already seen suggestions of that. We've seen the Biden administration walking a very fine line here in attempting to hold Israel back. There were a number of reports in the last day or two about his trip over there and some of the motives for that. What do you see as the best case scenario outcome here?
So I think, well, you're right. There's a series of only bad and imperfect options. But big picture, like I said, I think the approach taken by President Biden is the correct one. If we want peace in Israel and Palestine, if we still believe in the two-state solution like I do, you first we need to continue to support Israel's targeted military operations against Hamas. And we need to ensure that humanitarian aid is provided to the people of Gaza, who themselves have been suffering under Hamas's rule, and they didn't ask for this conflict, and they don't deserve this. They deserve to live in peace and security just like everybody else. So I think so far I've been very pleased with the approach that President Biden has taken, and I hope he continues to pursue that approach as this conflict develops.
Just about 30 seconds remaining. Do you think, what do you think is the most likely outcome here? We in for
Well,
more pain? Yeah.
that's maybe a little bit above my pay grade. I
Yeah,
don't,
fair.
as a state legislator, I don't have access to the intelligence reports or the military expertise or the foreign affairs expertise. But what I will say is that the disputes in this region are as old as history, and this is a land where Jewish people have lived for 5,000 years, and it's a place where Palestinians have lived for 5,000 years or thousands of years. And they're two people, both of which who belong to the land, right? And I'm very hopeful that this will be an episode that we get through, and that ultimately we will have a two-state solution where both the Israelis and Palestinians can live together in peace.
State Representative Dan Didich is a Democrat from Buffalo Grove. Thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Coming up after a short break, State Representative Abdel Nasser Rashid. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.